Let's get situated here, and members, if everybody take their seat, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please silence anything noisy. And Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Maney.
Here.
Committee Whip.
Here.
Zito.
Oh, sorry.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Cant.
Here.
Representatives Antone, Arrington.
Here.
Barnaby.
Here.
Benjamin. Daly.
Here.
Daniels. Duggan.
Here.
Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Lamarca.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Oberdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Jaeger.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that there is a quorum. Members, we have seven bills, and today first up will be Representative Grant C.S. for HB 1569. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members. I know you have a full agenda, so I'll try to be brief. The bill will codify the bona fide nonprofit exemption in statute that both the Habitat for Humanity and the Office for Nature Regulation has certainty around who does and does not qualify the exemption under Florida law. That's the bill.
Wow. Members. I didn't know that Majority Leader Grant was an auctioneer at one time. Any questions? Representative Ranking Member Tant.
I didn't know you can talk so fast. Why'd you do it?
I'm sorry?
I think that's for debate.
Was it the accent?
Any additional questions? Questions? None? Any? Anybody from the audience here? From the conference? We have Robert Stewart, Habitat Florida, registered lobbyist, and he's waving in support. No additional testimony. Members were in debate. Seeing no debate, recognize it closed.
Closed.
Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney.
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant.
Yes.
Representatives Antone, Arrington.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Benjamin. Daly.
Yes.
Daniels. Duggan.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
Lamarca.
Yes.
Mello. Oberdorf. Rudman.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Jaeger.
Yes.
Bill passes, sir.
We will show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
And thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Up next, we're going to have Representative Robinson with HB 479, and we like efficiency here, so if you can beat Majority Leader Grant's time, you will get a gold star. So you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is no way I can speak that fast, and I'm a lawyer. I'm paid by the hour, not by speed. this bill does four things. It creates a definition for mobility plan and mobility fee, which corrects an omission from the original 2013 law. Secondly, it clarifies how proportionate share is applied. Third, it clarifies that the data utilized to set the current impact fee must be based on the most recent and localized information. And finally, it specifies that only the local government issuing the building permit may charge a transportation impact fee. However, the collecting local government must account for extra jurisdictional impacts through an interlocal agreement. Further, no interlocal agreement may allow for double charging for the same transportation capacity impacts. I believe in this bill, that's probably the only somewhat controversial issue. And just so you know, we're still working with the counties, who you may hear from, on the specific language with regarding to that. So hopefully we'll continue to refine this bill as it makes it to the floor. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you. I understand you have an amendment. Could you please read Amendment 629933?
Just for clarification, you want me to read the amendment, Mr. Chair?
Explain it.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
If you like, as long as it's under 100 pages.
It's under 100 pages, Mr. Chair, but it does a couple things. Clears up a typo, cleans up that language that I mentioned, and that was the last portion of the bill. And finally, with notice from the fire districts who were seeking this change, it clarifies when the most recent information for impact fees needs to be produced. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Representative Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if it's exactly on the amendment, but you had mentioned that you were addressing that the impact fees could be charged, or the local jurisdiction needs to take into account extra jurisdictional charges in the form of an interlocal agreement. What are the specific requirements for that interlocal agreement?
Correct.
Thank you, Chair. That will be between the city and the county. And to be honest with you, you have some counties have two different types of systems, a impact fee system and a mobility fee system, and they don't fit sometimes. So the interlocal agreement will basically say when there's money generated, who gets what portion of the money? Does the city get 20%, the county gets 80%? Because they're right, and you'll have folks testify, traffic doesn't just stop in the city lines, it goes in the county. So that interlocal agreement has to be very clear. Some of the money needs to shift from one local jurisdiction to the other based upon the impact of that development.
Wow.
Thank you. So does your bill specify any criteria or benchmarks or anything that needs to be taken into account for the interlocal agreement?
A lot of that, Representative, is in, thank you, Mr. Chair, a lot of that is in current law, but frankly, I'm working with the counties on specificity to see if we can't refine that a little bit more.
Additional questions? Public testimony on the amendment? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for presenting the bill today. I come from one of the largest counties in our state that sends a lot of money here to Tallahassee. And what I wanted to know is, have we looked at how does this affect Miami-Dade County?
Recognize.
We're looking at all the counties, including Miami-Dade. I've actually met with Miami-Dade, and they proposed a couple options that they would like to see in the bill. Because you're right, Miami is the largest county in the state, and we gotta make sure we do it right. So we're still looking at what language, if any, we need to put in this bill to make it better.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No additional questions. We have one public testimony from Bob McKee from Florida Association of Counties. He's coming up. He's not a state employee.
I'm sorry?
He's not a state employee.
Okay. I'm sorry. No, I accidentally checked that box. I misread the form, so I want to make sure. I used to be a state employee. I'm no longer a state employee. So,
congratulations.
I was the chief economist for the Department of Revenue for a decade. So, but... thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. I actually think it would have been a great suggestion earlier if we had actually read the amendment, because I think there's some things in this amendment that's very important that you focus on. I'll start when you look at line 6. It starts out, an alternative mobility plan and fee, and then the next words are, or an alternative system that is not mobility plan and fee based. So right away, we have two things happening in the bill. We have the existing alternative mobility plan and fee system, and we have something else, an alternative system, that's nowhere defined in the bill. We look further to the next lines 9 and 10. Today, the mobility fee system has laid out in statute, in the concurrency statute, a series of pieces, one or more of which must be in the mobility plan today. This amendment takes that out and says now the mobility plan is no longer required to have one of those two elements. It's gonna be something else. It is defined in the underlying bill, but it is no longer tied to those things. Then, if you turn over to line 19, if you look at first the stricken language says a mobility fee-based funding system must comply with 163.31801 governing impact fees. So today, there's an impact fee, there's a mobility fee, they both must fly under that same impact fee statute. And where counties, we have impact fees today, or we have mobility fees today, we fly under that statute, we're not asking for that to change. What this says now is an alternative system, not an alternative mobility fee system that is laid out in the previous language. Only the alternative system is now tied and governed by impact fees. So the original mobility fee system is no longer tied into impact fees. I think the underlying bill makes it clear, once this amendment goes in, that what that means is whatever the local government puts in a fee schedule is the basis for the fee. Today, a mobility fee has to meet all those impact fee criteria and statute, along with the original dual rational nexus test that was necessary and created the impact fee out of home rule authority. It is important for you to remember, as the legislature, you can authorize local governments to tax and charge fees. And this is what you are doing here, potentially, with this language. It's important to remember that a presumption when you change the law is that you meant to change something. And so that strike of a mobility fee-based funding system has to mean something. If it was meant to be included, there's an easy way to do it. You say an alternative system, comma, including an alternative mobility fee system, comma, must comply with the impact fee statute. It is not written that way. Then we get to the language, the lines 25 to 33, that there's been a lot of conversation about. It's important to understand today's system. If a county wants to impose an impact fee or a mobility fee, and they want it to apply on their county road facilities that are within municipal borders, it's important to understand Chapter 334 and 336 in Florida statute both make it clear that the county has authority, jurisdiction, over their roads, both in the incorporated areas and outside the incorporated areas. So today, if we think the right way to fund transportation is through an impact fee or mobility fee, we have to do a study, we have to notice it, we have to take a vote and impose an ordinance, and we have to invite the public to come in. Here's what this does. It changes it, where now we can't charge it in the city, only the entity that issues the building permit can. Charge, the word charge is very specific. I read that as imposed.
You gotta bring this in for a landing.
All right, absolutely. The next word says, must account and collect. Must account and collect, that's an action word, collect. That means they have to take something in, and then they have to account for all extra jurisdictional impacts. That means instead of today, where the county would take that vote to impose a fee, now they get to go make a claim against another local government. When government works with the people, hopefully it works. When government fights governments about how much another government owes, we don't see how that works for the people. We don't see how that works for commerce. We think this is a bad amendment, and it is not ready to go into this bill, and you should vote it down. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. Debate on the amendment.
Can I ask Ms.
Seeing no debate, recognize. Oh, Representative Anton, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, I would just, in my debate, just ask Representative Robinson to work with the gentleman that just spoke and see if we can't get that resolved.
Sorry, you're right. We're in debate. You want to debate? Okay. You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for trying to work with the counties. I know we had spoken about this kind of briefly beforehand, but if in closing on your amendment, if you could address any of the things that the gentleman just talked about, that'd be great.
Great, thank you. Additional debate? You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit confused. Mr. McGee got up here and talked about the first part of his portion. That's in the original bill. All right. Nothing has changed in the amendment on that first half that Mr. McKee just talked about. We'll walk through the language. So I'm a little bit confused why there's an issue now since I've met with him six times or so on the original bill. That is not changing in this amendment at all. And the two-fee thing, just so you all understand, and there's going to be a little bit of testimony on this. The basic problem is the counties believe the cities are undercharging mobility or impact fee. So they're charging an extra fee on top of that. And that's what this bill is trying to address. Is it fair to charge an extra fee that is unrelated to the transportation concurrency impacts that is created by that development? I think by our counties and cities working better together in an interlocal agreement process, it will streamline things much better. I close the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Show that amendment adopted favorably. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, now questions on the bill as amended? Questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no additional questions on amendment to public testimony, which there's a little bit more than one. We have David Cruz, Florida League of Cities. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. League of Cities is in strong support of this bill, and we thank the sponsor for his efforts in trying to clarify this in state law. The simple fact remains to the committee, Mr. Chair, is that the Florida legislature created the alternative funding system, mobility fees, and mobility plans. There has been confusion as to how that applies when cities and counties are operating under two different systems. We feel it is needed that the Florida legislature steps in and provides that needed clarity going forward. And because of those efforts, we support this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank Rusty you. Payton. We're, it's public testimony, not question. Thank you. Rusty Payton. Thank you, wave in support. Casey Denny from Palm Beach County. Wave in opposition, thank you. Patrick Rudder, Palm Beach. Not waving, you're welcome.
I'll be quick, thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, good morning. Pat Rudder, Deputy County Administrator, Palm Beach County. Just a couple points to follow up. Yes, you're certainly speaking for Palm Beach County. We've been consistent in our methodology and how we've addressed impact fees through the years. We haven't changed anything. What's new to the game are cities charging mobility fees and other things. So this has created this level of confusion. Largest point I'd like to make is absolutely agree we need clarity in this. This is an issue that's been litigated, is in litigation, and it needs clarity. In Palm Beach County, we have 39 cities, and then our county, 40 local governments. There are probably 40 different interpretations amongst all of us if you push it to the limit. This bill doesn't quite get us there right now. I think the point, the largest point to make would be looking for a fee. No issue with the single point of collection, no issue with the one fee. Those kind of points are very fair. But as it evolves, is the county receiving its funding to address the capacity improvements on county roads? We are charter authorized and mandated to address them. And the cities collecting for their city roads. You're coming from two different levels and two different approaches, but we need that point absolutely, imminently clear. The ILA can bring that about, but we're really looking for this legislation to make that point. You know, I go through some of the other points on, you know, we talk about, or you heard some of the earlier comments on traffic and we don't know boundaries. Absolutely, we could go through a lot of those points. I think we're a little bit deeper at this point into it. Biggest challenge that would appear, again, talking about Palm Beach County, if we weren't receiving the funds appropriate for our impact fees, that's a significant hole in the donut that's going to be put there. So capacity improvements would be significantly diminished for all of our residents, our roadway network that traverses from county line to county line. And you know, holding that money solely within the jurisdiction that collected it would be a problem. That does not address the concerns throughout the county that the capacity improvements would be addressing. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. You know, I'm pretty consistent where it's only public testimony. You have an opportunity to meet with the member afterwards or those folks in your office. Thank you. Kim Castor, Town of Lake Park. Wave in opposition. Wave in support. Wave in support. Thank you. John DiGostino from Lake Park. Wishing to appear. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I'm here to speak in support of this bill. Yes, there needs to be clarification. I'm going to start with an example. The town of Lake Park has a mobility fee and a mobility plan. That's already been approved. One of our particular projects is Nautilus 220. If we favor the county's approach, the town will collect a mobility fee that directly impacts and mitigates the direct impact to that project in the amount of $763,415. The county will collect an impact fee for not only the roads, but the parks, the libraries, the public buildings, the schools, the fire rescue, the law enforcement, to the tune of $1.21 million. That developer will have to pay both of those fees. That is the issue that we have, because we, the municipality, is directly impacting, directly mitigating the impact of that project in the town of Lake Park. There is no way that the county will spend $1.21 million mitigating that particular development. And that is a nexus issue that we're talking about here that doesn't exist. So it becomes a tax and not a fee. And we're looking for you to consider clarifying this to the point where if we provide a building permit, we should collect that fee to mitigate that particular project in our community. We're completely built out. There is no way they could widen the roads in the town of Lake Park. We're a 2.4 square mile community. And we have a number of projects ongoing right now. And this money is important for us to mitigate, provide alternative means of transportation. And we want to do that for our residents in the town of Lake Park. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mayor Bogart from the city of Aberdale. Wayne Sport, thank you. Chelsea Reed, city of Palm Beach Gardens. Mayor, welcome.
Good morning, thank you. Speaking briefly.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. So my name again is Chelsea Reed. I'm very proud to be the mayor of my hometown, the city of Palm Beach Gardens. I'm also the chair of our county's planning transportation agency, where we plan, prioritize, and fund all mobility within the county, as well as all 39 municipalities, which I feel gives me a unique objective perspective on this. And I will tell you that this bill allows us to be one traveling public. We support House Bill 479, and I want to sincerely thank Representative Robinson for doing a very thorough job explaining a complicated bill. What you have in front of you gives us clarity, allows us to collaborate as municipalities, as counties together. We are directly affected by this, and I look forward to hearing how it goes and hope for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. From the city of Lake Park, Commissioner Taylor. Waving in support, thank you. Judith Thomas from the town of Lake Park, Commissioner also. Waving in support. Gary Hunter, Association of Florida Community Developers. Wayman Support. Thank you. Roger Michelin, from Town of Lake Park. Town Manager, Wayman and Support. Lake Park was well represented here today. Mac Lohman from the City of Palm Beach Gardens, City Attorney.
Wayman Support.
Wayman Support, thank you. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties, wishing to appear again. Welcome back. Try not to be redundant.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. It is important to understand everything that I was concerned about in the amendment is now in the bill. We've heard a lot of discussion about clarity. Let me give you an example about the concern about we have about the lack of clarity in this language. If you look at line 190, the last word in line 190 is the word jurisdiction. That word means two things with respect to roads. It means boundaries, and it means authority. It means both. We're confused on how that makes it clear, particularly when there's a term of art that's defined in the Community Planning Act, which applies to this statute, that is area or area of jurisdiction, which clearly means boundaries. We don't understand why words are chosen here that create confusion when there's a term of art, when we're seeking clarity. Again, now that it's part of the bill, I think it's important that you look at the definition of mobility fee, which is on lines 37 to 39, because this is going to be the standard by which any local government can now impose a fee, because they have been broken away from the impact fee statute. So, mobility fee means a local government fee schedule established by ordinance and based on projects included in the local government's adopted mobility plan. Well, that's clear. Maybe it has no guardrails. Maybe it is whatever the local government decides is in their plan and whatever fee they want to charge, because the limits have been taken off and the guardrails have been taken away. We don't see how this is good for commerce. Think about in your businesses, Mr. Chair, in your restaurant, how many county roads your truck delivery turns on before it gets to your restaurant. And we are defunding or creating chaos with respect to how those roads are going to be funded. It's important to recognize that the county road system is of such importance. First, it's 58% of the centerline miles of the state, and that includes state roads. So it is the skeleton of our system. It is very clear in the definition of 334 that they transcend with neither respect nor regard for municipal boundaries. Maybe that's what the cities don't like, but people have to move not just within cities, but between cities. And more important than just people moving, goods and freight. 1.5 million people are going to come across that border and move into the state in the next 5 years. They are going to need roads and road capacity to get them there. Commerce needs roads to move. This bill creates not clarity, but uncertainty. Chaos for commerce is what will happen if you vote yes for this bill today. We are the counties. We understand this might give us a new funding authority that we don't have today. We're not asking for it. We're here to put you on notice of what this is really going to do. We've told you, we've said it, it's going to create chaos. We don't know what else we can do. You need to vote no on this bill. It's not ready to go to the floor. You need to vote no or you need to keep it here so it can be worked on and be something that works for the citizens and the businesses of the state of Florida. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You for testimony. Chairman Oliver Gilbert from Miami. Welcome, Chairman.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee. Representative Robertson, look, I'm Oliver Gilbert, the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners in Miami-Dade County. I won't be long. I'll just say we look forward to working with you on this. To answer one of the questions, it's a $106 million hit for Miami-Dade County. It's a $106 million annual hit for Miami-Dade County. And so what we do in Miami-Dade County is we have a very, very big area where people in small cities to the west, on the west part of the county, they work in downtown Miami. They're going to drive through a whole bunch of places. Now, the buildings might happen. They might go up in the city of Miami. But people in West Hialeah, very small cities, we have to provide roads and transit for them. We have a system that does not allow for this type of uncertainty. And so we look forward to working with the sponsor of this legislation because we need to find a way not just to have clarity, but to have certainty. You know, when we put out RFPs to build roads, and to repave roads, and to provide bus routes, and to build, we're actually planning on this money. And so I understand that there is some confusion. We look forward to working with the sponsor of this legislation to clarify that, because what we need to do is keep the largest economy in the state of Florida moving. By moving, I mean people who don't make a lot of money going to jobs. We need not to affect that system. And so I just wanted to say that we'll work with him. We look forward to working with any member of this committee. But we need to mitigate this damage to the transit, and mass transit and road operations in Miami-Dade County. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you,
members. We appreciate working with the chairman. Mark Jeffries, Orange County. Wave in opposition. David Sugg from FAC. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's Davin Suggs, and I'm legislative director from FAC, and I want to, and Bob works for me, and you see this issue is very, very technical, and being up here, what I wanted to avoid, and I shared with Rhett Robinson, when we get up here in this arena, it gets sort of contentious, but I want to make very clear to everybody, the representative has gone out of his way. He talked to me yesterday while he was driving up here. He has met with me. Anytime I wanted to meet with him, he has met with me. So he is doing his job and facilitating this issue. It's a very tough issue. I know when he introduced the bill, he is correct. We agree on a lot of stuff. We agree there needs to be clarity. We want the developer not to be harmed and pay only what's due for that project. I think the issue where we're at is sort of, we agreed everybody needs to talk. I think our issue is when that talking occurs, okay? And that's the issue. And we only want one fee to go to the developer. But because our county road is impacted, our county facility, we believe that discussion needs to start before the charge of the fee. So that charge sort of incorporates the right fee, not overcharging, but it incorporates everybody's needs. And part of this is nobody's fault. Before it was just impact fees, now we have mobility fees. And all of us, this is like if you online travel, if you remember 10 years ago, okay? Internet, taxing things sold on the internet. We're in a transformational era where we have two different fees. 10 years from now, it might just be a mobility fee or something else. The impact fees, which are sort of archaic, may go away, okay? But this, we should focus, and we're really trying to see how to facilitate two entities talking and working it out so the developer doesn't lose or overpay, okay? And so that's where we've got it, I think, narrowed down to is when really all of this stuff in the building is, the way it's written, it's tricky and it's complex. But I think I can sum it up when the talking starts, okay? Because yes, this bill provides clarity, but I don't think in clarifying how, the way it's written now, I'm losing authority. And I don't think that I have to lose authority to make sure that both cities and counties are treated equitably, Okay, and I think we're trying to solve this by adjusting when the talking starts. And because my county roads don't stop at city borders, I have different responsibilities for transportation, whether it's commerce, emergency management, and so I have to take that authority seriously. And so as we adjust and we work on when we talk and making sure that framework is equitable to everybody, I think we'll be sort of close. And I think I sort of summed up where we're at, but I want to thank him in front of you all because this is important to us. And we take roads and we take our authority very seriously. And so I agree with Bob and I don't fault him, but I want everybody to understand that Rep. Robinson has been above board and acted with honor, okay? And I tell you all I appreciate you, okay? And I look forward to continuing that. But that's it.
Thank you for your testimony.
Okay.
Luis Rotondo, City of Altamont Springs. And he's a proponent of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually was going to waive until I thought a couple of questions, I might be able to clarify a few things. I think Rep. Robinson is correct when he says, if you look at this amendment is the language that was already in the bill. It's, as I read it, is simply cleanup language for what is an alternative mobility fee or alternative transportation fee. And it was a hole in the law that he's trying to close, because it didn't address the issue of non-mobility fees, which are in statute, been there since 2013. The second thing I would suggest to you is that the amendment that passed and is now part of this bill says something very simple. The use of the word jurisdiction in this regard is not about who owns the road. It's about where the development occurs. Where the development occurs. It either occurs in the city or it occurs in the county. And that's what it references when it says within its jurisdiction, the way it has been amended. And last but not least, I think I can tell you that, oh, by the way, I'm not from Palm Beach County. If any of you were curious, I'm actually representing Altamont. Altamont already has this system. So does Seminole County. We've had it since 2018. We worked all of this out between us. It's not rocket science. It's not that difficult. The city actually has county projects on its comprehensive plan CIP. Why? Because we have impacts on those county roads. So when we collect the fee, and there's only one fee in Altamont, and that's the city's transportation fee, we set aside money for those county impacts, which we may have from new development. The bill is that simple. It's not difficult at all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, we're in debate. Rep. Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I started off in favor of this bill when I sat down here this morning, but when my county commission chair comes to testify essentially with concerns about the bill, I have to pull back a little bit. And I will note that most of those concerns were not articulated in advance. So I look forward to working with Representative Robinson to see if we can work on the little tweaks. I think the system and concept that you're trying to do makes sense. I don't think we need multiple fees being paid by our residents, our businesses. One fee should work, but the details and timing, as we heard from testimony for the counties, also matters, right? Because once it's charged, and there's not a whole lot to play with. So for today, I will be down on the bill, I think. We'll see. The last kind of piece to this puzzle for me, which also just came out in testimony, and regrettably we couldn't ask people questions, was about the litigation that was mentioned that was pending. If you could speak to the impact of your bill on any existing litigation on this subject, that would be useful.
Rep. Duggan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Robinson, for bringing this important bill. I want to point out that all of the infrastructure that is being referenced as needing to be paid for or maintained exists already. The county has to maintain those roads whether the development occurs or not. That's already their obligation. What we are talking about here is incremental impacts for new development. So it's not quite as stark and dire, in my opinion, as has been represented by some of the public testimony. You cannot make new development fix existing transportation deficiencies. That's already the law in the state of Florida. All we're saying is new development has to pay its proportional impact to the infrastructure. We often hear a critique of our legislative activity as limiting home rule. What we are trying to do here is allow more home rule. They just have to work together to work it out. Many jurisdictions have figured out how to do that. We're not heading to some Armageddon here. It's as simple as that. And as a side note, in multiple committees that I've been in, there's been a recurring theme this session. We've seen it in Ways and Means as well, of a mindset among mostly the counties around, you're taking my money. Right? As others have pointed out, this is the people's money. We need to, I think, take a hard look at that mindset, and perhaps we have too many levels of government charging for multiple duplicative services. So that is not part of this bill. I recognize that, but I think it's something that could potentially be fruitful discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Anton.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Robinson, I think what you're doing today with your legislation is something that needs to be done. It's going to provide some clarity. Unfortunately, I cannot support it today. My county is opposed to it. And I'm concerned about this $106 million hit that Miami-Dade is talking about. And so maybe you can address that in your closing comments, maybe not. But unfortunately, today I'm down. But thank you for all the hard work that you've put in on this.
Thank you. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Chair. And Rep. Duncan, and thank you for your comments, because I was going to say half of what you said earlier. And thank you for bringing this great bill. I've personally experienced what you're talking about last year, trying to do a small little development just to block big development in my area, and had similar issues where there were multiple fees, not just two. They were also taking land in the negotiation. So it was almost like the county extorting, you know, just a common folk person in the area. And I commend you for taking the bill. I don't think it goes far enough, personally. I think there's a lot more things that we should add to this bill to fix those problems. And I know you and I talked about it, and I'm going to co-sponsor this bill. I appreciate you bringing it forward, and thank you for all that you've done. I ask everybody here to co-sponsor the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Daniels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Honestly speaking, I really haven't heard enough as to how this affects my county, but I do respect the chair of my delegation, Representative Duggan, and I'm going to be up on the bill today until I, you know, get a grip on everything that I need to know. But I am kind of weighing in the balance, but I'm up today, and I'm just going to kind of go with the chair of my delegation today.
Thank you. Representative Tant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I've heard this is my second time hearing the bill, and I asked the question in Ways and Means last time. Did I understand correctly there was litigation involved where the same fee was being charged to the entities, or two fees were being charged separately to the same entity? And the answer was yes, and I think that's highly inappropriate. I've been talking with you about this bill now for a couple of weeks. I have every reason to believe you're going to work with everybody on this bill. I'm going to be up on this bill today, as I told you I was before I came in here. Although, hearing the testimony today, I do hear a much more nuanced discussion about the bill. So I'm going to lean in and just work with you to make sure we address the issues that were brought up today, because I have confidence in you to be mindful of what their needs are. So I'm going to be up on the bill for that reason. Thank you.
Representative Robinson, I want to thank you for working. It's a complex issue, and I know you'll continue to work before we get to the floor. We've heard great testimonies on both sides, and keep working, and we'll get this good bill across the finish line. With that, you can close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I really want to thank the public. They've been with me, maybe against me a little bit, throughout the last couple of committee stops. With regard to Miami-Dade, we're going to work with them. It's the first time I've kind of heard of that hit. We got to work through these issues. And, you know, I'm proud to say I filed this bill a couple years ago, but last year I convened a meeting,
And I think like 30 people showed up to object. We've whittled it down. And, you know, we still have some issues that we're still working through. And I understand that we're not ready for the floor with regard to Representative Joseph's concern about the litigation. There was some litigation previously. I don't believe that this bill would impact that litigation. It's already been resolved, but I can get back with you on that. But I just want you all to know that I'll keep working on it, make sure that this product is a product may not be able to solve everything, because I truly believe that this extra fee has some issues, and they're holding these property owners hostage, and one county even has lien rights, which is disturbing to me. So this is about, we talk about affordable housing all the time, this is about driving down the cost of housing, because an extra fee, what does that go to? It goes directly as a pass-through to a homeowner. So we'll work through these issues, we'll get this in a better, hopefully, shape for the floor, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant.
Yes.
Representatives Antone.
No.
Arrington.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Benjamin.
No.
Daly.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo.
Yes.
Joseph.
No.
Lamarca.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman.
Yes.
Soror.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes. Thank you. Congratulations. We'll show that bill reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair.
Up next, Representative Salzman with CS for HB 675. You're recognized.
Thank you
for the kind note.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing the bill today. I appreciate you working with me. So, members, this is HB 675. It's the same bill that we passed minus one vote unanimously on the House floor last year. It's simple and straightforward. It has no hidden agenda or ulterior motive. It gives cultural recognition to the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee, and that is the bill.
Members, questions? Questions? Seeing no questions, public testimony? Ghost Dancer. I wish to appear. Ghost Dancer. Welcome, sir. Take your time.
Violates the 14th Amendment of Equal Protection Clause. No state shall ever write or enforce a law that violates the rights of equal others. I'm the chief of the Northwest Muskogee. There's no such thing as a lower Muskogee, by the way. This also inviolates the Sherman Act by giving this one tribe the sole rights that belongs to other numerous tribes here in Florida. That's total discrimination. My people have been here since the beginning. Santa Rosa started in 1992, and that is a fact. You have many people who are claiming things that they're not. The state should not have the authority to recognize who is Native and who is not. Do y'all know any of the names of the families? Do you know what it takes to be a Native? The bloodlines? You're looking at somebody that's fought his whole life. My whole life has been behind fighting for Native American rights. Fighting and writing the laws, working with Senator Nidorst Campbell, Senator Inouye. I've worked with Native American Indian movement. I work with the tribes in Oklahoma, the tribes in South Florida. I visit them. I got a lot of relatives in both places. Recently, we just had the end of the day, the Apaches come here for the first time in history since they was imprisoned and murdered here. That's what natives do. They stand behind each other. We go to schools. We go to all the military bases. We go to nursing homes. We teach. We practice our culture every single day. We don't live it one day a week, 2 days a week. We live it every single day. I'm against this bill because it does discriminate. And I know that people in Florida do not want no discrimination down here. And you don't want to violate no laws. I would hate to have to take this to federal court, but I would protect my people and all Native Americans here in Florida. Protect the people of Florida from monopoly, because you don't know what's behind all this. Just like we had the House bill she mentioned last year, what was the real purpose of that bill? First, she testified to y'all it wasn't about gaming, but yet they'd already applied for a gaming permit, and they'd already bought a casino down in Miami. Do not be mistaken by things that's not come out you don't hear. Pay attention to everything. Nothing happens without a reason. Everything has a purpose. There's a reason the BIA has a process in which Native tribes gets recognized. And yes, it's a long due process. I admit that. Is it equal? No. But it's like anything that comes forward here. You got to work through all the programs. You got to prove things. You got to live it. If you're not living that culture, you're not preaching that culture and continuing it, you can never get federally recognized for a reason. Now, you say you pass this on here in Florida, they want to make it into law. What would be the impact of that commerce-wise? You would stop all the other tribes from getting grants, from getting the materials that are inside of the libraries and from the museums. You would stop that. You would stop tribes down here in Central Florida, down here in Southern Florida, Western Florida, from ever having the rights to this. This original bill, you notice, started out, they would have the sole right for all time, forever, to issue a card. Wow. What kind of authority do they have? Where was they at in the 70s and the 80s and the 60s? Members of this tribe, when they first came there, said they was white people, and now all of a sudden they're Native? Well, I've lived in that area, and I know not one single one of them. What they didn't tell you, but I got a roll number. And I know the members who used to be at Santa Rosa, they're no longer there. Who's
you're
there?
You're going to have to bring this in for a landing, please.
Don't let fraud be committed. I'm asking you not let fraud be committed. This bill is fraud. And speaking in behalf of the Seminole Nation in Oklahoma, Chief Johnson, Lewis Johnson, my cousin, Dan David Hill of the Muscogee Nation in Oklahoma, of the Choctaw Nation, Marcellus Osceola down here in South Florida, Larry Howard down here in South Florida. They are against this bill. Totally and completely. Speaking on behalf of all the other tribes here who are not recognized, they're against this bill. Many of them are elders. Many of them don't have and probably never will have the ability to prove who they are. But they live it. We was born in a time when it was against the law for us to even pray.
You got to land this.
Thank you for your time, and I ask you, please, vote no on this bill. It is discriminatory, and it's violating the law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Dan Helms, the Santa Rosa Band of Lower Muscogee, Inc. You're recognized.
Mr. Chair, Representative Maney, Vice Chair, Committee members. Hisje estongo, Totlaco Sulta Miko, Jaha Jefkados. Would you like to press 2 for English? I said, good morning, how are you? I'm Dan Helms, Chief of the Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muscogee. And I'm here in support of HB 675. In 1853, Florida passed the Indian Removal Act, which made it illegal for an Indian to be in the state of Florida unless you gave up your personal identity, your tribal identity, gave up your language, your culture, and traditions under penalty of being arrested and sent to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears. Although it seems to have been in the far past, this law remained in full effect until the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Up until the time I was 11 years old, in the sixth grade, this law was still in effect and I was subject to it. My parents, my grandparents, sought to protect me by withholding their knowledge of the language of the culture and traditions. This law culturally robbed me. Our culture had to go underground for more than a century and a half to try and survive. We have learned that much of our cultural knowledge, thought to have been lost, actually did survive, but it's locked away from us in the archives of government educational institutions and only available to government-recognized tribes and bands. State recognition will give us the standing that we need to access these historic archives and information about our culture, which is currently being held captive in the locked basements and closets and drawers. Access to this restricted information is vital for our fight to keep our culture from fading into obscurity like a wounded deer slipping into the forest to lay down and die. We are asking that 170 years of discrimination created by Florida's Oppressive Indian Removal Act end here and now with the passing of HB 675. This bill can be summed up in only two words: cultural preservation. Nitta Amogasi Imene Juxje. Today, we ask for your help. Mado.
Thank you for your testimony. William Bassett from Santa Rosa Band of Lower Muskogees. Recognize.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Vice Chair, Representatives. You've heard the words of our chief, Miko Dan. So what will you do? If you can only feel those words like our ancestors did just a few generations ago, what choice did they have? Just two: march west for over 1,000 miles, rifles and bayonets at their backs, being forcibly removed to a foreign land, where if they survived the journey, they would be allowed to live and try and start anew. Or remain in your homeland, hiding in fear, intermingling with others not of your culture, not of your customs, but those of your oppressors, not able to live your normal way of life, forced to forget who you really are. Don't speak your language. Don't worship your creator. Don't let them know you're a native. Just hide in plain sight while giving up your very way of life just so you could stay. Were those really choices? No. Those weren't choices. They were a form of cultural genocide. At what time, at that time in America, and here in Florida, those in power weren't as civil as the five civilized tribes they made walk the Trail of Tears to try and exterminate them. History is not always pretty, but your support of HB 675 will help us regain some of what we lost. So I ask each of you in my homeland, this great state of Florida, recognize us. It is time, because Pomogen Hiados, we are still here.
Thank you for your testimony. Jason Peacock from Alabama, waving in support. Kamira Brown from Tallahassee, waving in support. And Var Lindy from Alabama, also waving in support. Thank you. Members, we're in debate. Debate. Seeing no debate. Rep. Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you. So I was really concerned about the testimony I heard earlier, and I was like, did I miss something in the law? So I went back, and, you know, maybe if I'm missing something, let me know. But I just for the record, state cultural recognition of an Indian tribe or band under this section does not provide those recognized with any authority or ability to consult on issues related to the state undertakings, including those outlined in the sections or carried out, and does not provide any other authority or ability to consult on activities carried out by the state archaeologists as specified. So maybe if there's some other stuff going on here that I just don't see, but I don't see the basis for and I will fight against discrimination all day long. I will fight for 14th Amendment preservation. I just don't see the basis in the text that I'm looking at right now. Maybe a prior version, I'm not sure. But right now, it just looks like they're looking for recognition of this particular tribe. And I don't know about, obviously, I don't know anything about upper, lower. But I would think that recognition would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to have conversations because this is a committee stop. It then goes to the House floor for a larger vote. So if there's more that maybe I'm just missing, I would love to hear it. Today, I am going to be up because I don't see the harm that was articulated at this juncture. But I'm encouraging and specifically requesting to have a conversation in case I'm missing something on this bill. But I don't, right now, looking at the plain text, I don't see it. So that's it.
Thank you, Rep. Daniels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I am very sensitive to the topic. I'm 116th Cherokee. I think I talked to you about that before. And I wish we would have had more conversation because I'm just going on the comments of Rep. You know, I'm hearing, you know, stories from, and I'm up right now, but, you know, the testimony is given I'm just really confused about it, and I don't understand the purpose. I don't see the harm. I'm up, but if we could just have some further conversation before we get to the floor, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Maney.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill. I committed to it last year. I committed to it before this hearing. But based on the Chief's comments, I do have reservations now. I am going to be up today because I told you I would, but I want to know more about this whole possible dispute. I mean, I'm just baffled. I didn't hear it last year. I was for it last year. I didn't hear it earlier this year, so I'm still for it, but I do want to know more. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was up on this bill last year because I didn't see any harm in recognizing this tribe pursuant to the laws that we have and the intent of the bill. And I heard a lot of testimony today that reminded me of another group of people that sought to be seen and sought to have fairness, who yearned for knowing what their culture was, yearning to know their past. Some of us sit here today and can't trace their lineage back past the 1800s. So I am sympathetic to those arguments. So I'll continue to be up until I hear something that tells me I shouldn't be. But it's a good bill. It's always good to let people be seen. Thank you.
Seeing no additional debate, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And although I was going to waive close, it sounds like some folks need some clarity. In the staff analysis, it explains that there are certain ways that small tribes can get state recognition, and one of them is exactly what we're doing right now. Any tribe can apply to be state recognized through their local representative and go through this process. That's always been the case, and it does happen in states as close as Georgia. Second of all, I would like to thank the Secretary of State for working with us on this language. The reason why the language is so specific that you read is because the Secretary wanted to make sure that we put a button around all of the potential issues that might come if they were to recognize a tribe in Florida. Thirdly, the reason why you don't have the other bands or tribes listed in this bill is because they did not agree with the Secretary's parameters that were put on the legislation as it is currently that you're voting on. They do want those sovereign rights, and they are seeking federal recognition. If they signed on to this bill, it would eliminate their request for those things, which would eliminate their need for state recognition, and that's why they withdrew from the bill and did not want to be a part of the bill. If you look at the original committee stop, there were other tribes listed, and they requested to be removed. At their request, we took them out. Another thing that I wanted to mention was I think it's important that we don't just look at the speakers, but where they come from. And the gentleman that spoke against this bill, it's important that you might find his real name and do some research, and I'll speak with you offline about that. But he's actually banned from Escambia County Schools. We're very careful about who we let close to our children. Thirdly, I want to address the BIA process. We are not interested in the process of being federally recognized because we don't want to get gaming. We don't need any of that. We are perfectly fine where we are. All we want is to be able to access archives and change out the cultural center that we have currently in Santa Rosa County. Thirdly, I would like to say that I am a Native American. My ancestor is LeBourne Brown from Wetumpke Creek Indian Village in the 1800s. I can certainly tell you who my ancestry is, and our tribe requires that to be a member. The speaker has a group of people that can pay $35 a year, and then all of a sudden you're considered a member of that group. So while some things are clear, other things are very cloudy, and I just want to make sure that you guys understand where some of these comments are coming from. This bill is not removing anybody's authority to do anything. It is simply giving us our recognition so that we can do what we ask to do, which is clearly stated in the bill. As I said in my opening, there are no hidden agendas or underlining meanings. It is very clear. With that, I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant? Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes. The bill passes. Thank you. We'll show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Up next, we're going to skip over to CS for HB 175, Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I do it from my seat? Thank you so much. Thank you, committee members, for hearing this bill. Last session, we passed a bill that allowed for an expansion of our judgment lien laws. What we found is that there was some uncertainty with regards to what priorities that certain lien holders would have. So what this bill does is that it allows for the UCC to be the determining factor for those priorities, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, questions? Questions? No questions? Public testimony? Representative Steele, I'm sorry, I didn't see you over there.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing the bill forward. Are you saying that it takes the committee or that group is going to have authority over first position, second position, and third position of a lien?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Right now, the UCC is what determines priorities. And I think after our bill last session, it left some question as to whether the UCC would continue to do that. So this clarifies and states that the UCC is where the courts will look to determine who has priority lien positions. Yes.
Additional questions? We're in public testimony. We have Amy Diaz-Lyon from the Business Law Section of the Florida Bar. Thank you. Kenneth Pratt, Florida Bankers Association. He's waving in support. Okay. Members, we're in debate. Seeing no debate, you recognize the close?
Wave close.
Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant.
Yes.
Representatives Antone.
Yes.
Arrington.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo.
Yes.
Joseph. Lamarca.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes. Thank you. We'll show CS for HB 175. Reported favorably. Congratulations. We're going to go to CS for HB 943, Representative Lamarca. I know you have a strike call, so if you give a brief description of the original bill and then the strike call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 943, the amendment is a strike call. The amendment clarifies the scope of the exemption and further ensures that personal information of the My Safe Florida Home applicants is exempt. And specifically, it goes to the applicant's mailing address other than city, zip code, and the applicant's name, any phone number, email address provided by the applicant, and detailed descriptions and pictures of the inside and outside of the applicant's home. That is the amendment.
Any questions on the strike call? Seeing no questions, public testimony on the strike call. Debate on the strike call, seeing none. We're going to show the strike call adopted without objection. You're back on the bill as the strike call.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, House Bill 943, for the public records exemption from My Safe Florida Home Program, creates a public records exemption for the applications and home inspection reports as part of the My Safe Florida Home Program. Amongst other information, these documents contain pictures of homes and private contact information for applicants. This exemption will protect the sensitive information from unscrupulous individuals, and that is the bill.
Members, any public testimony? Sorry. Members, actually, do we have questions on the bill as amended? No questions. We're in public testimony. I jumped ahead a little. Chase Mitchell, Department of Financial Services. Waive in support. Tasha Carter, Office of Insurance and Consumer Advocate. Waive in support. And members, we're in debate. No debate. Recognize the close.
Leave.
Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant.
Yes.
Representatives Antone.
Yes.
Arrington.
Yes.
Barnaby.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Daly.
Yes.
Daniels.
Yes.
Duggan.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo.
Yes.
Joseph. Lamarca.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Yeager.
Yes. Thank you. We'll show that bill reported favorably. CS for HB 85, Representative Barnaby, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, Whip, Ranking Member, members of the Commerce Committee. It is my pleasure to present HB 85 to you today. HB 85 creates a public records exemption to protect the personal financial information and personal identifying information of the proposed officers and directors from public disclosure. This exemption will protect these individuals from identity theft, retribution, loss of employment with their current employers. The exemption also protects the strategic and operational plans of the applicant from public disclosure, which will ensure a fair process and competitive opportunity for applicants. This bill will encourage new bank and trust company applicants to come to Florida, which will provide Floridians with new financial service opportunities and grow our economy and business environment. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I ask for the committee's favorable support.
Thank you. We're not going to go to right close yet, but questions? Member, any questions? Seeing no questions, public testimony. We have Ashley Mason from the Office of Financial Regulation. Waive in support. And we have Laura Laura Butte from the First Amendment Foundation. Waive in support. Nice. Members, debate? Great. You're recognized to continue to close.
Wave close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gier Lombardo?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
We will show that bill, CS for HB 85, reported favorably. Rep. Barnaby, CS for HB 311.
Thank you again, Chair, Vice Chair, Committee Whip, Ranking Members, members of the committee. HB 311 amends Chapters 517 of the Florida Statutes, which is administered by the Office of Financial Regulations, to promote economic development, enhance investor protections, streamline the registration process, and update various definitions. HB 311 amends Chapters 517 in the following ways. It implements an Invest Local offering exemption, which allows Florida companies to raise up to $500,000 of investment capital from Florida investors. The bill revises the current crowdfunding exemption to increase the maximum capital raised to $5 million. Expand the eligibility for companies to use the exemption, allows insurers, issuers to crowdfund up to $2.5 million directly with no intermediary, and allows for general solicitation and advertising. This bill also contains enhanced investor protection measures, which authorizes the Office of Financial Regulations to bring enforcement against bad actors and their aiders and abettors. It also authorizes increased penalties for targeting and defrauding vulnerable adults, and modifies the qualifications for the Florida Investor Restitution Fund. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I ask again for the committee's favorable support.
Thank you, Rep. Barnaby. I understand you have an amendment, too. Could you explain amendment number 15860? Oh, wait, is that the one? 586997.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment clarifies and conforms the statutes to current rules regarding the transfer of securities from directors and or former employees to family members. That is the amendment.
Members, any questions on the amendment? No questions. Any public testimony on the amendment? Showing none. We're in debate on the amendment. Showing none. We're going to show that amendment adopted without objection. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none. Public testimony? We have some. Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce. Waiving in support. David Cruz, Florida League of Cities. Waiving in support. Ashley Mason, Office of Financial Regulation. Waiving in support. And Amy Diaz-Line, the Business Law Section of the Florida Bar. Waiving in support. Members were in debate. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wave close.
Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Republican Committee Whip Esposito?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Tant?
Yes.
Representatives Antone?
Yes.
Arrington?
Yes.
Barnaby?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Duggan?
Yes.
Gier Lombardo?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Rudman?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Thank you. We will show CS for HB 311 reported favorably. And members, another successful Commerce Committee. And if there is no, we have everything, right? We're done? Wow. If we have no further business, Representative Tant? What? Wait, are we done?
Yeah, we did.
See? Okay. We're so efficient. We finished on time. We can't believe it. But if there's no further business, Rep. Tan moves, we adjourn. And without objection, we're adjourned.